Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 732, titled Dead Man's Chest, Wiki Fascism and the Attack of the Cyber von der Vogel. This program is being recorded on January 9th of the year 2011. Well, first of all, Happy New Year. This is the first broadcast being recorded in 2011. And let me begin this program by encouraging people who are not doing it to use the SpitfireList.com website. In particular, there are a number of anti-fascist books, many of them quite old, for download for free. This is one of those broadcasts that probably isn't going to make a whole lot of sense to people who are not using the website, and in particular, fundamental to understanding the For the Record broadcasts, including and especially this one, will be a hands-on understanding of the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by Paul Manning, a protege of Edward R. Murrow and one of Murrow's boys that worked for CBS covering World War II in Europe. Edward R. Murrow broadcast the surrender of Japan and Germany on a CBS radio network, and then with the underwriting of CBS News that wouldn't touch the story, and with the encouragement of Edward R. Murrow, who encouraged him to follow the story, Paul Manning wrote the story of the post-war underground Reich, literally an underground Reich grouped around and derivative from a capital network, a powerful economic network that was inextricably linked with corporate Germany and the international cartels, and that grew out of the Third Reich as it went underground in the post-war period. That book, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, by Paul Manning, available for download for free. And this broadcast will be one of those programs for which an understanding of that book will be essential to really grasp this broadcast. Now, this program is going to be yet another in a number of programs, a sequence of broadcasts dealing with WikiLeaks. That is sort of an international, actually it's a bit of a conundrum at this point. It is an organization of hackers and international computer folks who they portray themselves as a whistleblower site, but that's really not what they're doing. What they're doing now is not so much flagging wrongdoing. For example, publishing the social security numbers of active duty American military personnel. That's not whistleblowing. And a lot of what they're doing really is not so much whistleblowing. They're not calling attention to wrongdoing. In some cases, yes, but an awful lot of cases they're not. And in many cases, they're actually doing wrongdoing. One of the interesting things about WikiLeaks, and I would stress that I have many, many, many questions about this. In a lot of ways, it doesn't make sense. But some of the things that I will say without qualification, first of all, WikiLeaks is Spook City. This is sort of like a WWF cage match for intelligence services. There are a bunch of different intelligence services involved with this. There are indications that the Australian Intelligence Service, through the family cult of Anne Hamilton Byrne, with which Assange appears to be connected, his disclaimers to the contrary notwithstanding, they have links to Australian intelligence, and through that probably the British intelligence milieu and the Echelon Network, the Wow Holland Foundation, which was handling some donations for WikiLeaks. They have links to the BND. There is a lot of discussion in WikiLeaks emails that were leaked by John Young of Cryptome.org, one of WikiLeaks' original founders who broke with WikiLeaks when he took serious issue with a lot of the things they're doing. And he noted, basically, they're behaving like a bunch of spies. They're behaving like a government. They're acting like a cult. And indeed, they are. Julian Assange's emails, he boasts of getting information from various CIA subsidiary organizations. He also boasts or states that one of the things they're going to do is get funding from intelligence services, including CIA, in order to ultimately fleece them or bring them down. That, by the way, is an example of what the Greeks referred to as hubris. I think if I were a compulsively or ideologically transgressive computer type, I don't think I would be going around looking to secure funding from intelligence services in order to double up on the intelligence services. Not a good idea. That is, if he can be taken at face value. And as we took a look at some of the emails in For the Record program number 724 and in 725, and the fact of the matter is, that Assange is somebody who was quite overt about being dishonest. And indeed, in an earlier professional incarnation, he referred to himself, he adopted the professional name of Mendax. It's a reference to classical literature and translates roughly as liar. And he's quite overt about engaging in various forms of deception. So whenever one is examining a statement by Assange, one should factor that in. Also, the fact that the family cult practices a very rigorous form of mind control, and if indeed he's connected to it, and I think the evidence points in that direction, then he may not know everything about himself. In WikiLeaks, however, there are some things that can be said for sure. First of all, at the epicenter of this vortex, I'm going to call it, is a Swedish Nazi financier named Carl Lundstrom. The available evidence suggests that he is part of that Bormann network that I alluded to earlier. He is a prominent underwriter of Swedish fascist parties. He also, interestingly enough, has offered here, he provided a file sharing site called Pirate Bay, which uses a BitTorrent protocol. And by the way, I'm not overly familiar with these things, to put it mildly. But it's a file-sharing site that users use to download music, DVDs, and so forth. And Pirate Bay and the people that use it are about as far from ideological fascism as anybody could get. And that is one of the points that I want to stress very strongly. I do not want to be misunderstood as characterizing the users of Pirate Bay or the elements that are involved with the Pirate Bay, the Pirate Party, and the pirate milieu, so to speak, as fascist. On the contrary, my guess is that most of the young people involved with using the Pirate Bay and most of the young people involved with the associated and derivative pirate parties that exist in a number of different countries, they might be described politically as a sort of anarcho-utopian, to coin a term. It is not a type of political philosophy at all uncommon, particularly to young people, who see a very, very, very brutally imperfect world in front of them and conclude that if only these barriers and these impediments to free expression and free action could just be somehow lifted or dissolved, then everything would sort itself out. We'd all find ourselves living in a golden age, in a utopian time. It sure would be nice, but doesn't work that way. It's one of the reasons why many tribal societies and Aboriginal peoples, they have the Council of Elders. They talk to the people that have been around a while, have had a chance to live and sort of see how things are going, and they draw their opinions. Because at the epicenter of this vortex, the anonymous milieu, we'll talk more about that, the pirate party, the file sharers of Pirate Bay, at the epicenter of this is a hardcore Nazi financier, and the available evidence suggests he's part of the Bormann network. So the question suggests itself, what motivation would Carl Lundstrom have for helping to underwrite the expenses of Pirate Bay and providing them with servers and bandwidth? By the way, Carl Lundstrom was head of Rikstrom, which is a Swedish telecom company. He, according to one of the articles that we've seen, he underwrote roughly 40% of the expenses of Pirate Bay. We're going to talk about the motivations, possible motivations for doing that as we get into the broadcast. But one of the things to think about is the fact that according to tech-savvy sources that I've spoken to, with the arrangement of Pirate Bay and PRQ and Rikstrom offering WikiLeaks their servers and bandwidth for operational purposes, this would permit people with the proper knowledge and technology associated with Carl Lundstrom, basically, to download and monitor. It would basically enable them to access everything that was going into WikiLeaks. And most of the information communicated to them appears to have come to them over the Internet. They've had documents and all kinds of things. We're going to take a look at that as we get into the broadcast. But the actual amount of information that has been leaked to WikiLeaks is truly astounding. There's an amazing amount of information that has made its way to them, and exactly how much of this has been accessed by the Nazi International as anybody's guess, but according to my tech sources, in fact, by providing them with their servers and their bandwidth, this would permit the Nazi International, the Underground Reich, as I call it, to access all of the information being sent to WikiLeaks. And what is this? This is from one of the emails that John Young, one of WikiLeaks' original founders, leaked after he broke with the organization. And here is one of the emails from, this is from January 7th of 2007, from John Young, or to John Young from Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. "We're going to F blank 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 them all. Chinese mostly, but not entirely a feint. Invention abounds. Lies, twists, distorts everywhere needed for protection. Hackers monitor Chinese and other intel as they burrow into their targets, and when they pull, so do we." Now this is what by hosting WikiLeaks, this is what the Nazi International and Lundstrom's associates would have access to. And going, continuing with this email to John Young, "Inexhaustible supply of material, near 100,000 documents, emails a day. We're going to crack the world open and let it flower into something new. If fleecing the CIA will assist us, then fleece we will. We have pullbacks from NED, that's the National Endowment for Democracy, CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, Freedom House, and other CIA teats. We have all of pre-2005 Afghanistan, almost all of India fed, half a dozen foreign ministries, dozens of political parties and consulates, World Bank, APEC, UN sections, trade groups, Tibet and Fulon Dafa associations, and Russian fishing mafia who pull data everywhere. We're drowning. We don't even know a tenth of what we have or who it belongs to. We stopped storing it at what I believe is one trilobyte. Anyway, it's just some huge amount. The point is that, among other things, what WikiLeaks and through its association with Pirate Bay is essentially, in effect, an enormous data mining information for the Nazi International. That, I think, can be discerned as one of the motivations for Carl Lundstrom to do this. But there also appears to be a couple of other motivations as well. We're going to get into the Pirate Bay and the maneuvering around Pirate Bay, and this is going to dovetail with some of the discussions that we engaged in the late 90s and early part of the last decade, dealing with German corporate control over the American media and world media in general. We're going to take a look at the torrent bit protocol, which is at the core of Pirate Bay, that technology, because apparently it is being seen as potentially very lucrative for the future of online music sharing. Also, a thought to consider before we actually get into Pirate Bay and the Cyber Wandervogel, as I call them. When Albert Einstein contemplated the advent of nuclear weapons, he made an observation that, quote, "everything has changed but our way of thinking," unquote. I think that is not only true, but among the technologies that have made that even more true are computers. As wonderful as they are, and I'm a fan of the Internet, it enables me to broadcast far more and much farther than I ever could before. The fact of the matter is that computer technology is something that can permit a relatively small or even a very small number of people to impose their will on a very large number of people. That certainly would be appealing to any doctrinaire fascist, or, extending that, any doctrinaire totalitarian. Certainly any form of totalitarian socialism, Stalinism and Maoism, for example, would relish such an event or an advent, and an absolute monarch would want to do the same thing. Anyone who wants to impose their will on others can see technology, and in particular computer technology, as one of the means of doing so. And I want to cite something of an historical analogy, and that is between the hackers such as the Anonymous and 4chan group. Again, the people grouped around Pirate Bay, the Pirate Party, Anonymous, 4chan. And I want to stress again, very emphatically, because I'm not going to have time to keep making this point every time I bring up the association, that not only am I not implying that these people are Nazis or fascists. On the contrary, they would be the last people in the world who would consider themselves in that context. They might be characterized politically as anarcho-utopian. Nonetheless, there is an analogy, and we're going to go back in time. We're actually going to go back into the archives to For the Record Program 629, It's Not Easy Being Green, Part 2, dealing with eco-fascism. And we're going to deal with the von der Vogel. Now, what the von der Vogel were, and we're going to quote here from the book Eco-Fascism, Lessons from the German Experience by Janet Beale and Peter Staudenmayer. The von der Vogel were some idealistic youth in early 20th century Germany who in many ways anticipated some of the philosophical ideals of the hippie movement, of the green movement, and of certain aspects of youth culture. Indeed, they're characterized here as right-wing hippies. They were into natural foods, homeopathy, among other things, save the whales, a very strong back to the land and ecological consciousness, and they were idealistic. Most of them ultimately became Nazis, and I think I'd like to invite very carefully, very emphatically, those people involved with Anonymous, Pirate Bay Party, Pirate Party, etc., to consider very carefully the example of the von der Vogel and to pay very close attention to what it is you're actually dealing with. I'm going to suggest that the Anonymous milieu, the Pirate Bay, the Pirate Party vortex, that revolves around Pirate Bay, at the epicenter of which is Nazi Karl Lundstrom, I'm going to suggest that, in effect, they are like the cyber von der Vogel, and their recent attacks on companies such as PayPal and Amazon could be seen as something of an attack of the cyber von der Vogel. Going back to, For the Record, 629 and eco-fascism of von der Vogel. Quote, "The chief vehicle for carrying this ideological constellation to prominence was the youth movement, an amorphous phenomenon, I would say, like Anonymous, Pirate Bay, Pirate Party, etc. The chief vehicle for carrying this ideological constellation to prominence was the youth movement, an amorphous phenomenon which played a decisive but highly ambivalent role in shaping German popular culture during the first three tumultuous decades of the century. Also known as the von der Vogel, which translates roughly as wandering free spirits, or I would say literally wandering birds, the youth movement was a hodgepodge of countercultural elements blending neo-romanticism, Eastern philosophies, nature mysticism, hostility to reason, and a strong communal impulse in a confused but no less ardent search for authentic, non-alienated social relations. Their back-to-the-land emphasis spurred a passionate sensitivity to the natural world and the damage it suffered. They have been accurately characterized as right-wing hippies, for although some sectors of the movement gravitated toward various forms of emancipatory politics, though usually shedding their environmental trappings in the process, most of the von der Vogel were eventually absorbed by the Nazis. This shift from nature worship to Führer worship is worth examining." Unquote. And again, I'm going to posit the simile of the Anonymous slash Pirate Party slash Pirate Bay Operation Payback milieu. Again, young people who would be described as anarcho-utopian, the farthest thing from people who would consider themselves fascists, I would suggest that in many ways they could be seen as sort of cyber von der Vogel, and they should exercise due diligence lest they be similarly deceived. Now, one of the points that I want to make here, and we're going to get back to the political nature of Karl Lundstrom. I've talked about Karl Lundstrom in For the Record 707. He's also discussed in For the Record 725. But one of the points that I want to make as we discuss WikiLeaks, and again, bear in mind that according to my sources, my tech sources, the arrangement of Rickstrom slash PRQ server offering WikiLeaks, that's Karl Lundstrom basically offering WikiLeaks, their bandwidth and servers would permit them basically to access anything that WikiLeaks was getting through there, through that portal. I may be misusing that term. One of the things to consider is the extent to which WikiLeaks operations are inextricably linked with, I'll call it the pirate vortex. I mean, not just Pirate Bay per se, the file sharing website, but also, as we talked about in For the Record 725, there is an international political party called the Pirate Party with branches in Sweden, Switzerland, Germany, and other places. And that group in turn overlaps the group Anonymous and 4chan as well. And as we're going to see, everywhere one looks with WikiLeaks, one finds this pirate vortex. And despite the fact that many of the people, and probably most of the people involved with that, the overwhelming majority of the people involved with that, would not consider themselves Nazi or fascist in any way, at the epicenter is the Nazi spider Carl Lundstrom. And we should consider the extent to which WikiLeaks is inextricably linked with the pirate vortex, so to speak. Of course, WikiLeaks now has mirrored servers all over the place, and all sorts of left-of-center luminaries from Michael Moore to others are lining up behind WikiLeaks. But nonetheless, the pirate vortex, as I call it, is inextricably inextricably linked with WikiLeaks, and it's why I'm taking the time to go into Lundstrom and his affiliations. Of the association between Lundstrom and PRQ, the following is from an AP story from MSNBC.com. A Swedish internet, it's called Swedish web hosting firm confirms WikiLeaks link. A Swedish internet company linked to the file sharing hub The Pirate Bay says it's helping online whistleblower WikiLeaks release classified documents from servers located in a Stockholm suburb. Michael Viborg, the owner of the web hosting company PRQ on Friday, showed the Associated Press the site, the basement of a drab office building in Solna, on the condition that the exact location was not revealed. "This is the office. The server room is further inside," unquote, the 28-year-old Viborg said, with the door to the office cracked open. Desks with computers, documents, and empty pastry boxes and soda cans could be seen inside before he closed the door. WikiLeaks posted more than 76,000 classified military and other documents, mostly raw intelligence reports from Afghanistan, on its website July 25th. The White House angrily denounced the leaks, and saying that they put the lives of Afghan informants and U.S. troops at risk. The secretive website gives few details about its setup, but says its servers are distributed over multiple international jurisdictions and do not keep logs. Hence, these logs cannot be seized. One of the things to note here is the fact that the milieu around Pirate Bay, they're very much like the Napster folks. They're into file sharing, and I would assume that the pirate term for Pirate Bay alludes to the fact that they're illegally downloading a lot of stuff. But these are people who basically want to download music and DVDs and so forth. The last people in the world who would consider themselves fascist, and they also consider themselves to be very, very anti-corporate, which is really very ironic. Not only do they have Carl Lundstrom sort of sitting at the epicenter of this spider's web, but ultimately Pirate Bay was sold to a Swedish gaming firm called Global Gaming Factory. And we're going to talk about that, although as we're going to see, this company appears to be in trouble, and it remains to be seen just exactly where Pirate Bay goes. But the point is that these breakers of corporate and commercial bonds, talking about the founders of Pirate Bay, those who would liberate the users of that from corporate constraints, are actually, they're looking to find somebody to buy this for a profit. And it would appear, as we're going to get into this, it would appear that one of the motivations is in order to use the BitTorrent protocol for profit, basically, to use it the way Napster ultimately was used. Napster was kind of a downloading pirate site. Ultimately, it was absorbed first by Bertelsmann, then it went to somebody else, and it became quite lucrative, according to report. But the anti-corporate folks in the pirate vortex probably don't realize just exactly what's happening with Pirate Bay. It is becoming very, very corporate, and beyond that, very, very interesting indeed. From BBC News, Pirate Bay site sold to game firm. This from June 30th of 2009. The previous story, by the way, August 6th of 2010. The lucrative commercial Global Gaming Factory, or GGF, has paid 60 million kroner, or 4.7 million euros or pounds, to take over the site from its founders. Once it has taken control, Global Gaming Factory said it would start paying copyright fees for the movies, music, and games linked to via the site. It ultimately turned out, as we're going to see, that GGF may be facing bankruptcy. They were going to pay for the acquisition of Pirate Bay with stock. The day before the sale was announced, there was 170% run up in their stock, which smacks very strongly of exactly the sort of dirty insider trading that characterized the very kinds of corporate operations that the Pirate Bay, Pirate Party, Anonymous, 4chan people would be completely opposed to. And as we're going to see, it gets even worse than that. Again, one might ask, you know, how would you have a fascist money man like Carl Lundstrom involved with something like this? The following story is from The Guardian, and it's an article by Andrew Brown called "The Pirate Bay Trial is the Collision of Can I and Should I Cultures," and there are some very interesting observations here. Then money man Carl Lundstrom, on whose servers the Pirate Bay and WikiLeaks was housed, is straight out of the crime novels of Stieg Larsson. He inherited a fortune built on crisp bread and has a long history of involvement with extreme right-wing politics. In the 1980s, he was a member of Keep Sweden Swedish, an anti-immigrant fringe group. He has financially backed the Sweden Democrats, a would-be populist and anti-immigrant party, and only this month, the managing director of one of his companies was charged with a robbery in a small West Coast town, part of a feud with a neo-Nazi group. Lundstrom told the Metro newspaper after he sacked the man he had known he was a party member, but not that he had known that he was a party member, but not that he had gone to collect another member's computer with a submachine gun. That sentence again, because I botched it. Excuse me. Lundstrom told the Metro newspaper after he sacked the man that he had known that he was a Nazi party member, but not that he had gone to collect another member's computer with a submachine gun. Gottfried Svartholm Varg and Fredrik Nage, the nerds who run the Pirate Bay itself, have also been accused by the prosecutor of tax evasion, but deny that they were making any money from their business. Their attitude of sneering entitlement towards the government is all of a piece with their attitude towards the big content companies. I know that a little bit of the rhetoric around the Pirate Bay sounds left-wing, the idea that it's wrong for international capital, unquote, to push Sweden around, but that's just populist and could be found in the rhetoric of the kind of parties that Carl Lundstrom has supported, too. The overwhelming impression is of a clash between two right-wing views. One says that it is all right to steal from the state, and one which says it is sinful to steal from corporations. Again, the early Nazi party, the notion was that Germany was being pushed around by these the international bankers and so forth, and the Pirate Bay folks are mad that international capital is pushing Sweden around. This is quasi-fascist rhetoric. So again, that the ultimately recruiting some of the Pirate Bay people as Vondervogel and ultimately Nazis may be another motivation for someone like Carl Lundstrom to get involved here. Now, as I mentioned, one of the motivations may also be that the BitTorrent protocol of Pirate Bay could prove very, very, very useful for the corporate control of the music business. Now, again, in a long series, long for the record series called German Corporate Control Over American Media, I talked about Bertelsmann, its forays into various forms of American media, and we're going to examine this, and we're also going to examine this against the background of For the Record 695, the death of Michael Jackson. And I can appreciate that a lot of people are out there saying, oh, boy, Dave has really lost it. Now, what is this? Pirate Bay, WikiLeaks, Michael Jackson, Nazis? Boy. Well, I hope I've whetted your interest, because that's all we have time for in Side 1. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 732, Dead Man's Chest, Wiki-Fascism and the Attack of the Cyber Vondervogel. This program is being recorded on January 9th of the year 2011. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening.